It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry is back, and he's on the line. Hey, Larry.
Yes, it looked like I left during winter, and the day I left, April 2, I drove through falling snow, and of course there was still snow on the ground. And then the day I got back, April 13, the temperature was in the upper 60s, and the snow had melted, et cetera. So, yeah, I went from winter to spring, and where I went down in Arkansas, I had another spring. So it's been an interesting experience. Arkansas country, the Ozark country, is absolutely beautiful in spring. And April is an incredibly wonderful month down there. However, I went there not only to see the spring. I also went there because it was in the path of totality for the solar eclipse. And as I realized when I got down here, I was not alone. It was amazing how many people were going to see the totality of the eclipse. There is an interstate, I-40, which connects Oklahoma City to Little Rock, Arkansas. And that highway was, as someone else told me, that highway was a parking lot. I had no intention of driving on that road, but I drove on a road nearby and I ran into similar traffic. So I just pulled over at a little town, park in a little town, and it was everything I could have asked for. Nice, wonderful, friendly people. I estimated hundreds of people there in this little park. I walked around and saw license plates of 8 different states. And we were strangers, and yet we all had something in common, and everybody was just so pleasant and friendly. And as we proceeded, I sat there for a couple hours, and as it proceeded, after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sunlight started to get a little bit less. I don't think we really noticed it until about 1:45, about 15 minutes before the eclipse, the totality. And then the darkness started to move in, and yeah, it was like evening. And then when the totality hit, it was amazing. I had been in total solar eclipses before, and so I knew what to look for. But nevertheless, it was still a great thing to see. The street lights came on. It looked like in every direction, 360 degrees, it looked like sunset. And it was getting a little bit cooler. It was just an amazing thing to see. And then, of course, during totality, you can see the corona around the sun. And, oh, yes, it was worth every penny. And I did not fight the traffic on the way down. I went a few days early, and I did not fight the traffic on the way back. And I came back a few days after. I might mention it's an interesting, very positive people experience as well as nature experience to see how many people want to see some nature, natural event like this, even though it lasts, totality only lasts somewhere around 4 minutes. It was so amazing. And then if you looked around the whole country, you saw the same thing. I've been reading that said there's 44 million people lived within the path of totality, and another 100 million people lived close enough that they could drive over to see it. And just truly amazing. I have been a baseball fan for many years, and I've seen postponement of games for all kinds of purposes, but I have never seen postponement because of an eclipse before. And that happened both with the games in Cleveland and in New York. They actually postponed the games a couple of hours so people could see the totality. So, there's a lot of people out there who still want to view nature, even though we may think that's something of the past. It is not at all. Anyway, back to April. Okay, April in the North Country. We had the first half of April has come and gone. And even though it may not feel like it in some of the recent days, the average temperature for the first half has been a little bit above normal, a few degrees above normal. Snow has been way below normal. Precipitation, however, thanks to some recent rain, has been pretty close. Now, as I said, when I left, there was snow on the ground, but I was hoping that the snow would melt and replenish the ponds, the vernal ponds, the spring ponds that are used by lots of critters early in the season. And that is exactly what happened. When I got back on the 13th, I took a walk on the 14th, and the temperature was warm enough that not only had the snow melted into these ponds, but the frogs had started to wake up. And before I finished my walk, I heard both the wood frogs and the chorus frogs calling. This is going to be added to with a few more in the coming days. I haven't yet heard spring peepers calling, but I think they will very well. The rain we got this week added more to that. Now, depending on where you were, the weather service recorded about 6/10 of an inch of rain. But from driving around yesterday and seeing the puddles along the side of the road and so forth, I think there are places that got considerably more. And I'm very glad to have seen that. The grasses are going to get greener now. The leaves are going to start coming out on the trees. The first tree to open leaves is elderberry, redberry elder. And it is a small tree, but it's quite common. And it has the compound leaves. It has huge buds. And when we get to this time of year, usually it's by about the 1st of May, it starts to open the leaves. But I've been seeing several that are starting to open its buds. This is going to be followed by a number of others. My lilacs right near where I'm sitting now have their green buds showing up as well. In addition to that, with the trees, the red maples are just spectacular right now. Red maples mostly get their name because of the leaves in the fall. However, they do have female flowers in the spring that are also red. The male flowers are not as red since they have a growth of pollen around them. They're not quite as red, but they are just spectacular right now. In addition to that, the catkins continue on a number of trees. I've been noticing especially the hazels during my recent walks. Hazels have catkins, but they also have a very small female flower, too, kind of a purplish-red female flower. Forsythia in my yard is wide open. Boy, the day I got home, I think the first bud was opening, and now it's just wide open, spectacular. In a recent walk in Jay Cook State Park, I found two early spring wildflowers that are starting to open. Number one is hepatica virtually every year. I don't think I've ever seen a spring where the woodland wildflower, number one, has not been hepatica. It's also always out there, number one. And I think one of the reasons for that is that it keeps its leaves during the winter when many of the other ones don't. The hepatica has either light color or almost white or blue or purple petals, about six of them. However, that can vary as well. And yes, they're out there blooming right now. Anytime you get a sunny day, I'd say on a sunny day like this, they'll be in bloom. Spring beauties are about number two on the list, and they were out as well. And they have five kind of light pink petals. There is going to be plenty more. Get out and take a walk, and you probably will see bloodroot in bloom, anemone in bloom. These are some of the very early ones. And then as we go through the next 2 weeks, that list is going to bulge for about a dozen kind. It really gets thick. And Jay Cook State Park is a wonderful place to take a walk to see that. In addition to that, we will start to see the fiddleheads of the ferns starting to show up. The fiddleheads are the new growth of the fern. Ferns have a stem that stays alive all winter underground. And then as we get to spring, that stem will put forth new buds and new leaves called fronds. And they unfold in an arrangement like looks like at the end of a violin. And for that reason, they're known as fiddleheads. Yes, be on the lookout for those as well. And then this week, I also saw the first of the wild leek, the wild onions, also called ramps, that are show up in the woods. And there's many, just a huge growth of those. But probably the thing that really grabs the attention the most now is the migrants. I have been seeing a lot of them. Now, I've been talking earlier about migrant as raptors. The raptors continue. The bald eagles that were so prevalent in the month of March are still coming over, but not quite as much. There are other raptors that are coming in good numbers. Red-tail hawk, harriers. I've been seeing several harriers. American kestrel and turkey vultures. Lots of turkey vultures. Saw two ospreys this week. All these are raptors that have been in migration. In addition to that, the water birds. I've been going to different lakes and rivers and so forth around here, and we've got a good movement of ducks. The geese and the swans that came earlier are still there, but they're being greeted now by ducks and mergansers, grebe. I see all these. But maybe the ones that are most obvious, and I suggest if you haven't seen it, to get out and see it, and that is the flocks of pelicans. Flocks of pelicans show up every spring during about this time, and then they're in no particular hurry to leave. They congregate along some spots of the St. Louis River near Chambers Grove at the Fond du Lac area and along the bridge there. And yesterday, as I was crossing that bridge, on both sides, I saw flocks of pelicans. I estimated at least 100 of them. Pelicans are huge white birds. Huge. They are the biggest of the white birds that we have in the water, and they have black on the tip of the wings, the huge bills. Yes, a lot of people are hard to believe that we have pelicans here, but oh yes, we do, because I think we tend to think of pelicans more in the ocean, but though they're here. In addition to that, there is a loon been calling out on the lake. A kingfisher, I saw a kingfisher on the lake. Large numbers of smaller songbirds. Rough grouse are drumming. Robins, bluebirds, Swainson thrush, kinglets, flicker, a kind of woodpecker, yellow belly sapsucker, another kind of woodpecker, brown creeper, juncos, as well as many other kinds of sparrows, song sparrows, fox sparrows, tree sparrows, white throat sparrows, phoebe, all of these showing up. And the one I was really glad to see, and that's, I'm not surprised, but I was really glad to see, was the yellow rump warbler. Yellow rump warblers are consistently the first migrant of the warblers to show up in our woods. And they, for a while, for about a week, they are, might be the only warbler we're going to see. But as we get further into May, we will see large numbers of them. I mentioned already about the frogs being calling, but I hit another interesting sighting that is kind of hard to believe. I went down to the lake. This is on April 14 when it was warm. And then again, I went on the 15th when it was in the 60s and the sun was shining. And they're out on a log in a lake where no less than 50 painted turtles all crowding up on the same log to bask in the sun. What goes on in the springtime is that the turtles that spent the winter underwater are in this chilly water, and it feels good to get out and sit in the sun. And so that's what they were doing. As I said, 50 of them. Hard to believe they could even find that space to do so, but they did. In addition to that, I saw the first butterfly of the season this week, a butterfly known as Morning Cloak. It has dark wings. It's almost always the first butterfly to see. And I saw the first bumblebees this time around. And, the first mosquito found me as well. So plenty going on, and I suggest to get out and take a look, because this is the time of year where every day there's going to be a difference, and there's going to be plenty to see and hear. So get out and take a look. Yes, we are at the days now approaching 14 hours of daylight. It gets longer. We have a full moon on the way on the 23rd. So, yep, plenty happening, and take care, and have a good one.
Thanks so much, Larry. Really appreciate it. That's Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.